welcome back to Bit by Bit. This is the third part of the questions video that we've been doing based off of the questions that you guys sent in. We were not expecting it to be three parts. I don't think we were even originally expecting it to be two parts.
No.
So we just talked a long time. You guys sent in some really great questions and we have a lot to say about them. So once we got done with our second video, the second part of the video, which we referred to in the first video, we realized we've been talking for like an hour. So we decided to split it up so that we have like two shorter videos. So if you hear us in, you know, the second part or this third part here, referring to like the last video from like last week, we're probably referring to the first video, but there's actually three of them, so I know it's confusing.
Wait, yeah. Wouldn't we be referring to if we're so
wait, did I confuse
next,
myself?
Yeah, okay. So this next chunk, it's the last chunk we just did.
Yeah,
so we're referring to the last video where we are referring, yeah, no, we are referring to the first video. Yeah, you're right. See, this is what I just do. I don't know why I jumped in. Sorry about that.
That's okay. But yeah, that's where we're at. Sorry, it's a little confusing, but so this is the third part, so we're getting to all your questions. We had to add this in later because we did not realize how long we went on. We can really talk.
Yeah. The point is watch all of our videos. That's actually just good life advice for everything. But especially
it's
in this case.
It's a rule of life. Yeah. So anyway, if your question hasn't been answered yet, it will be shortly. And be sure to see what we have to say about all the really strange stuff you guys sent in. All right. Thanks for watching.
Okay. Next one up. Whose family line is Ray a part of? You want to just go ahead and jump on that?
So here's the thing. I will preface this by saying that this is an important question to me because I have a slap bet on the line. If any of you have not watched How I Met Your Mother, you may not know what a slap bet is. So basically, if you lose, you get slapped in the face. I don't want to get slapped in the face.
No rings.
Mm. Yeah. But I do want to be the slapper. So, it was a poor decision for me to make this bet because it's still sometimes to this day, I'll be just sitting there and then I'll become frightened that I'm going to lose. But basically, my opinion is that, well, the actual slap bet is that Rey is not part of Luke's line. She's not related to Luke Skywalker. That's what I bet. So if she is related to Luke Skywalker, I lose. But if she's related to anyone else that isn't Luke Skywalker, I win. So I think it's a pretty safe bet. Even though a lot of the people would say that, you know, the movie leans towards Luke Skywalker, I actually think she's part of Obi-Wan Kenobi's. She's related to Obi-Wan Kenobi. I think so. I would also be willing to say she's related to Qui-Gon Jinn because I've heard some pretty interesting ones for that. And then some other people have also said Senator Palpatine, which I think is a bit more of a stretch, but would be interesting.
That'd be weird, yeah.
Yeah. So I so obviously like Darth Sidious. I think it's Obi-Wan Kenobi for some strange reasons, and I haven't like really kept up on my research, but I used to have a really good argument back in the, you know, when it first came out. But some of the major points for, I think, in favor of her being related to Obi-Wan is that, this one might seem like a stretch, but I think it's important. She has a British accent, and there's lots of British actors in Star Wars, but, and they all have, you know, their normal accents, but like for example, whoever it is that plays Finn, I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
He has a British accent normally.
Mm-hmm.
You watch interviews with him, he has a British accent, because that's how he talks. But he uses a pretty convincing American accent for the movie. And so do a lot of other characters. And Rey is the only one who still has a British accent. And Obi-Wan Kenobi is also the only person in the Star Wars universe prior to this that has a British accent. So I think that's like a little weird hint. I also think there's that flashback when she grabs the lightsaber, Obi-Wan's voice can be heard. And some people might say that has to do with Anakin's, relationship with Obi-Wan and whatever. But also Obi-Wan Kenobi had that lightsaber longer than Anakin did.
Uh-huh.
Or Luke, possibly. We don't know when Luke lost his lightsaber. So, but Obi-Wan has a definite connection to that lightsaber as well. So, I don't know. I think there's definitely an argument for it. I'm hoping that they don't go the Luke Skywalker route because I think it's tired. I don't like that idea. I think it's too easy.
So. Yeah. I basically agree with that after hearing a lot of conversations about it.
Yeah.
Of Jess talking about it. So, I'm like, sure. Yeah. And that's basically my answer. So, my answer is Jess's answer because I'm like, that sounds true. And I also think that with like Luke being the easy answer, I also agree with that, and it seems like they're doing some really interesting things with the series, so I feel like they probably would like stray away from that, but I don't know.
Then again, they also had like a third Death Star, like,
yeah,
movie,
right,
so, like,
maybe not.
Just like, let's do it.
Well, you can't have a third Death Star and be related to Luke.
Let's hope not.
It's kind of a hat on a hat.
We'll know soon.
Yeah, I'm excited. I really do enjoy Star Wars. I will say I'm not like, you know, a super fan or anything like that. I watch like the main movies and that's it. You know, I'm not like in the lore, you know, but right. I do really enjoy Star Wars, as I think most people do.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Keeping on the Star Wars line, we have a question from Mauricio, also asked on our at Big by Big Gaming Twitter account, and is Jar Jar Binks great character or greatest character?
No.
This is what we call a troll question. Yeah. So, no. Yeah, I hate Jar Jar. Everyone hates Jar Jar. Jar Jar is one of God's worst mistakes.
Yeah, Mauricio's so, really obsessed with Jar
Jar. Yeah. So. Yeah, I think there definitely is a subset of the, like, Star Wars community that vibes with Jar Jar.
I don't vibe with Jar Jar.
He's definitely a Jar Jar apologist, which we do not.
we're not okay with this channel. Yeah, yeah,
Jar Jar apologists on this channel. Cool. So that's
moving
that.
Along. Yeah.
Trucking along. Okay. Next question comes from Mark Lewis. This was actually asked on Bit by Bit's Instagram, which is also at Bit by Bit Gaming, right? Yeah. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Instagram and Twitter are the same. Facebook's different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. All right, so this was asked on our Twitter because I put up an image that Jess made about it. And the question is, what's more important to you in a game, story or gameplay? And what are your favorite examples of each? So for me, what is more important to me in a game is gameplay. I think they're all like, I think both things are really intertwined. So I think it's a little bit like of a, like, I guess I don't think in the gaming community we get too much from like, this particular discussion, just because I think they're both really linked at this point. I think when games were first kind of growing up, there was like a more stark division between story and gameplay, and there was like, there's these games that you play for the story, and then there was just like Mario, you know? And I think it's become a lot more nuanced than that, where a lot of my favorite games for gameplay also have like really enjoyable stories or enjoyable lore. So, but I guess at the end of the day, what I enjoy the most is still gameplay, because... I guess because for the most part, unless your game is like highly story driven with like very minimal action or very minimal like things you're doing, and by mean very, I mean like very, very, like I would say like, no, I feel like anyway, like the to drive through the story, you need the gameplay. So I think the gameplay still should be like a certain level of engagement. So even when I play a game like One Night Stand by Lucy Blundell, like that game is so like much story. But, like, I really enjoy the gameplay of, like, clicking around the room and, like, the order I do it in. And that if that part wasn't there, I wouldn't like the game. Like, the stories are still interesting to me, but I, like, I, even though that's a very simplistic, like, gameplay mechanic, it works really well. It's, like, done really well. You know, the reason I didn't like Night in the Woods is because the gameplay was really boring. Like, it got really old really quickly, and I get that it is a mainly a story game, but, like, the gameplay also needs to be there. And when it shined the most, I think the gameplay really was there, you know? The mini games, the rhythm games, the, you can play a dungeon crawler on your laptop.
Oh, cute.
Which is really great. So I think when games shine the most, when there's a healthy marriage between those two. So to quickly answer the second part of the question, my favorite versions of each, I guess my favorite game for story is Life is Strange. That's really only because I haven't played many story-driven games. No offense, Life is Strange, but I'm pretty sure you're not the strongest thing out there. And in that, I'm more like, I didn't necessarily like the characters in that game, and I think a lot of it was kind of cliche, but to me, the story like really picks up as it like becomes, not to give anything away, but becomes like a little bit more surreal and like convoluted, I guess I would say. Like it goes from being like, mystery drama to like, wow, this is really like other, almost otherworldly. And that's all I'll say about it to avoid any spoilers for that. And then my favorite game for gameplay it's probably gonna be Breath of the Wild. That game just came out, so I feel like weird saying that, and like that's like the, yeah, I know. That's like the that's like the coldest hot take. It's like, guys, it's Breath of the Wild, it's pretty good, and you know, everyone's been saying that, but it really is damn good. Like so yeah, and for that, well, the reason I like the gameplay on that is just because, you know, it's like literally doing everything is amazing in the game, which I feel like this is gonna kind of bite off a little bit of what was just talked about on Gameblitz podcast, because they also talked about Zelda. But yeah, really everything is fun. Like gathering materials is fun, and cooking is fun, and like, you know, just it's like, it's one of the very few games, because I've done games that have like a few of the side questy things. Yeah. Not as much, because it's not really my genre, so I don't have as much of a background in it. But with that game, I really do feel like I truly feel immersed in the game, because I really don't feel any pressure to, like, a fetch quest doesn't feel like a fetch quest. It feels like something I'm really doing because I want to do it, and it's fun. Like, when I go out and explore, I'm not like, I feel like sometimes when I explore in a game, I'm also like, okay, but like, let's get back on the real path of the game. For that, for Breath of the Wild, the game really does feel like the whole thing. It is just an all-encompassing experience for me, and that's what I really love about the gameplay. There's so much freedom. Everything feels like just so fresh and interesting, but it's also married to the story, right? Because I'm really loving like some of the characters I'm seeing. You know, I am curious about like, you know, how the story will unfold, especially as someone that doesn't have as much of a Zelda background, right? So like, so I think, you know, I think story is also world building, and I think you need interesting worlds to have gameplay that is good. You know, whether it is like the big landscapes of Hyrule, or you know, the bedroom you wake up to in Lucy Blundell's game. Like, you have to have those things. So those are my examples.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is like our classic schism. A little bit. It's like, yeah. I agree with you, but of course it's always been like this with us. I'm always a little more on the story end, and you're always a little more on the gameplay end because of your background with platformers and my background with RPGs. Mm-hmm. Which I think makes us a good combo. But yeah, for me, story is more important. But I'd agree with you that the gameplay can't get in the way of the story. Like if it's bad gameplay, it will hinder the story. Like if it's a chore to play,
yes,
I'm not going to get into the story. You know, I definitely think that that's important. Like some things, I think they try really hard to like just focus on the story, and they're like, it's not really important if the gameplay's good.
Mm-hmm.
And while I think, so like some things that come up for me are, Sybil is a game I played that's like about this, like, this romance that happens between, these two people via the internet.
Was it the phone game? It was like originally on iOS and then moved to Steam.
I don't know if it was originally on iOS or not. It has a girl with pink hair on the front.
Can you talk a little bit about what Sybil is?
Yeah, Sybil's basically like, you're this girl that's like recently in college, and you play this online game, and you sort of fall in love with this guy that's on this game that you play online. It's kind of like, you know, it's like one of those like massive online games that you go on a lot, and they start a romance like online where they send each other pictures and stuff like that, and like talk and email and text and call. Mm-hmm. And then eventually she meets him in person, and you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be based off a true story, which makes me feel bad saying the story is not good. because I'm like, if it's based in your real life, I feel a little bad. But it's just because something happened in real life doesn't mean that you can just like, you still have to be a good storyteller in order for it to be an interesting story.
Or also maybe it's just not that interesting. You know, it's like, hey,
right,
maybe.
Right. Yeah, so I don't know. So for me, Sybil's gameplay was really awful. Mm-hmm. It was very unengaging. And I feel
what
like...
What was the gameplay just really
quickly? Pretty much you just click on stuff.
Okay.
But it's not like as engaging as like Gone Home, or even like recently I've been playing something called Layers of Fear, which is like Gone Home, but like spookier. Also not that great of a game. I'm going to write about it later, but...
But like, I got a little excited for it. I'm like, ooh, like,
well,
Gone Home.
I think
like,
you should maybe play it. I think you might enjoy it. But I'll let you know when I'm probably done. But basically, Sybil's like, you just like click on things, and like, it's not even like, even when you go into the game that mm-hmm. you're playing with this guy, the game that you're playing with this guy is so boring. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's, you could have had a really good chance to make this engaging. So gameplay and story have to go together, but I do always like lean on the story side. I want games that have story. I do like games that are mostly gameplay, like Super Meat Boy. I'm not in that for the story, you know?
Yeah.
But I do like Super Meat Boy, and games that are more mechanical, but I like the story to be there too. I guess for me, my favorite example of story, I get so tired of saying the BioWare games, but they do it so well. Like, they just do. And I think my favorite story out of the BioWare universe is probably Dragon Age 2, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Which is maybe a little bit of a weird answer out of all the games for BioWare. But Dragon Age 2's story is so good. I think mostly because it's really just really ragtag. Like, it's a very non-traditional
mm-hmm.
sort of gamer narrative. You feel very at the mercy of the universe a lot, which is a lot of fun. And everything's always going wrong. And I like that. And my favorite example of gameplay is probably Ori. And Ori also has a pretty fun story.
Yeah.
The story is weaved in so subtly, and like, it's not overdone, and it doesn't overpower the gameplay, but it's still there and it's still motivating, and a really beautiful game. But I think the gameplay is so perfect. Everything is so perfect about Ori. So...
Is there something like specific? Can you talk about the gameplay a little bit?
Yeah, I really like that you sort of, they do a really good job of giving you more abilities, that sort of mm-hmm. are seamless in your growth as Ori. You know, they don't feel sort of out of place. They feel like a sort of natural development of your use of gameplay. And so, you know, then you get the double jump and the ability mm-hmm. where you can like shoot the little things and then use them to launch yourself. And things like that. And sort of, it just feels like you're slowly learning how to interact better with the environment, mm-hmm. and it's all so seamless. It's none of it feels unnatural or sort of stilted. It's all very seamless and perfect.
Yeah, so. And for those of you guys who don't know, I mean, it's a fairly old game, so I think a lot of people do know about Ori and the Blind Forest, and it was one of the more popular indies, but I also really love, and this is a mechanic that a lot of games use, but I think in Ori it's done really well, because since it's a 2D kind of side-scrolling thing, and it's my least favorite word, it's Metroidvania style, where the map has different areas, and you can go back and to new areas when you get new powers, but that's also done really well, because like in Song of the Deep, like I feel like I'm just... It's really so like on all the way back, and they have fast travel, but I'm like but yeah, and Ori doesn't have fast travel, but you don't need it, you know, it's really well done. And
you have some like little things where you can go from one point to another.
I never used it. I feel like I always forget when fast travel is there, but
but it doesn't feel like a hassle to go back.
I loved how for the combat, like for if you were shooting any beams or like, you know, for lack of a better word, you know, shooting little things because that's a power you have. I liked how it also paused if you were doing like the one that launches you. Like it pauses mid combat, which is something that's been around in games for a long time. But I just feel like that one does it really well because it's not paused for that long. It's just the right amount of like of it being paused so that it doesn't totally take out the gameplay. And like it, also the platforming itself is really challenging. There's I forgot the name of the level, but the water one water rises, and
that's really really hard. But
like
also a lot of
Ori does a brilliant job at really challenging you, but still not frustrating you, because you know that, like, God, this game's well-designed, you know? Yeah. Like, it's not just so much like, oh, like, you know, it's you can't be frustrated because it's so well-crafted.
Some games are so poorly designed, and that's why it's hard. But it's hard because it's designed to be challenging.
Yeah, it's just, it's really tightly done, and I also really loved Warriors, so yeah. I think those are awesome. Those are all really good games that all you guys should play. Except for maybe not Life is Strange if it's not your thing. Like, it's a little, it's a little...
You don't need to play it.
It's a little high school-y. But I think if you can stomach it, it's, like, worth staying through all the way. Because the ending is so, like, it's all crazy and really strong. Like, the last couple episodes are really good. Okay, cool. So, moving down the line. Yeah, 23. Yeah. Yep, we're off to our last two questions. The last two are very similar, the first one is also from Mauricio, also on our Twitter, which is once again at BitByBitGaming, and it is, if you were stranded on a desert island with one video game, which video game would you pick? I'm going to go ahead and add on that, let's say you can't use the internet for it.
Okay. Can't go online.
Yeah. So, I'll throw that in there. Okay, so this question gets probably brought up a lot in just gaming circles, because it's like, it's a desert island question, and those are always popular. One game. I'm also going to go ahead and say you can't do... Let's not do any of the collection discs. I think that's cheap.
Yeah, you get one game.
Yeah, I can't say... The Jack and Jack Sushi Trilogy.
Not
no,
one disc,
you can't,
one game.
Yeah, a game. It has to be one game. God, I don't know. And I saw this question before, too, and I still didn't... Because I also tried not to think about it before because I wanted it to be fresh. Right. One game. For me, I guess it either have to be a game I never really got into that's really big or... I really don't want to say... I'm not going to say Breath of the Wild, but that is what it would be. I'm going to pick something other than that, because I think that's a really easy now answer, even though I do think the game will stand the test of time and be one of the greatest games ever. But I'm going to put that one aside, because I feel like that's too easy. But that is the game I'm playing, mainly because it has, like, I feel like I really could play the crap out of that game. Like, it is, like, I'm going to buy the DLC, and I hate the fact that the DLC is coming out, and I hate myself, and I don't care. I don't care, because I'm going to get it, because it's so good.
So weird. Just
it's
get the
so
DLC.
Good.
Don't hate yourself.
I know, but it's normal. It's just cheap, and I feel cheap for getting it, but that game's so damn good. So, Breath of the Wild aside, I'm going to do a little bit of a colder one. I guess, you know, I think, well, damn, I don't know, this game's kind of hard. I don't know if I want to be doing this alone without help from the internet and stuff, but I'm debating Fallout 3, maybe Fallout 3, because it's a pretty big game. I haven't played it. I've been wanting to play it. I'm on the desert island. I can probably take the time. And then I can also, you know, I can replay it and do different choices and stuff. So I think it would be exciting to play that. So I think I would go with Fallout 3. I did enjoy the bit of time I did play it.
Fallout 3, not Fallout 4?
Because I haven't played Fallout 3, so I have to play Fallout 3 before I play Fallout 4. I feel like I...
Oh, they're not connected, story-wise.
I know, but I don't know. I already started playing Fallout 3. So okay. Now I'm like, I need to play...
But the difference is, Fallout 3. You'll never get to play Fallout 4. Now there's no reason to finish Fallout 3 just to finish Fallout 4, because you'll never get to
No,
Fallout
I'm just
4.
On the desert island, though. I could come off. It's a desert. I'm not living on the island. I'm just stuck.
If you're stranded, but there's a chance you'll die there. Whatever. Okay,
it's okay. I'll just die playing Fallout 3. And then I'll have something to, like, inspire me. Like, once I get off this, I'm going to play Fallout 4, you know? Oh,
okay.
I like that. So, yeah. So, that's why. That's what I would play.
The weird person in me wants to pick Sims 2 Castaway, because it's a little funny, because you're on the desert island playing by the desert island, but I wouldn't pick that one because, I don't like it that much, but I mentioned it in the last video if you haven't watched it, but I guess actually I would probably pick like a Harvest Moon or Story of Seasons game because they're sort of endless, right? So if I guess, yeah, maybe I want to get off this desert island.
And maybe
so
you could learn how to make the stuff. Is that how it works?
No.
Learn how to make your turnips and stuff.
Turnips and things. Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly how it goes. No, I just think that'd be nice because even though like. Normally in real life, I stop playing eventually because there's other things to play. But mm-hmm. if I don't have anything else to play, I could play that for a long time. It's sort of fun and mechanical and engaging, and I could try out different strategies and really build the best farm ever. So that could be fun, and I could just play it for like an hour a day and spend the rest of the time just trying to get on track and get off this island. But it would give me a nice little break, something to look forward to after the end of a hard day, And it's not like other games where I feel like I am if I'm playing a story driven game, I feel like I have to play it all the time. I want to be playing it all the time.
Yeah,
and with Harvest Moon and Story Seasons, I don't really feel like that. I'm like, I could play for an hour and be fine and get back to work. So that's what I would pick.
That's good. I'm also glad that I, in my head, that picked Fallout 3 because I really love the music in Fallout 3.
Yeah,
I love jazz and I really love old jazz as well as, I may listen to modern stuff, but I do have a soft spot for the old stuff and,
it
has a lot of
that.
Reason
why you should learn how to swing dance. I know.
I need to learn. I don't know how to dance, but we'll figure it out. Okay, last question up for these questions video. Comes from Viamber, also from this one comes directly from our Facebook, which is at Bit by Bit Gamers, right? Okay, cool. I'm learning it. So that one was straight on our page, which was awesome because love getting your reactions on those. So be sure to like that if you haven't already. And the question is kind of similar, but this time it is forever. There's one game you can play for the rest of your life. What would it be?
Do I have to play it, or can I play it and never play a game again after it?
You can play it and never play a game again after that, right? One game you can play for the rest of you. Yeah, okay.
This makes me so sad.
Or, how do you interpret the question?
For the rest of your life makes me feel like I have to play it. I have to play it the rest
of
my life.
It says you could play for...
Game you could play. Oh, you're right.
So okay. Maybe it doesn't mean we're not... Let's answer it both ways. So there's one way to interpret the question, which is that this is the last game. You have this and you have nothing else. And there's also, this is the one that you maybe have to play it once every couple of years or something like that. So our answer is both, and let's also not use any of the Desert Island games to make it fresher. So not doing Breath of the Wild, but so if it was the last game I could play, this is the one game, and we're not playing any more games for me, and it's not any of the games I mentioned already. So this is really hard. I guess I would go with a game I'd have to play for forever. If you think of one while I'm thinking of this, you can just
Mass Effect Andromeda.
What? You haven't played it yet.
Doesn't matter. It's going to be amazing, and I can't not play it. I can't not play it,
Super
Janet.
Mario Odyssey.
Okay, right. Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter if I've played it before.
Yeah.
I want it to be something I've never played before. If I could do one thing, and I could only ever play one game ever again, it would be Mass Effect Andromeda.
All right, Super Mario Odyssey, Game of the Year. Next to FIFA 18, Game of the Year 2017.
Mass Effect Andromeda is going to be Game of the Year.
Actually, I should probably just pick FIFA, but I don't want to do that out forever.
No.
I love it though.
As far as games I had to play forever, I have to keep playing it over and over again. I don't know. That's hard.
Every 2 years you have to beat it or something like that. Or at least put 30 hours or beat it whatever comes first. Because I get if it's a really big game, maybe, if it's The Witcher 3, that's not going to be 30 hours, right?
No.
But you have to replay it for 30 hours or beating it whatever comes first every, 2-3 years.
I feel like I have to pick something that's a little more mechanical because I don't want to watch the same story over and over again.
That's true. Yeah.
Which doesn't make a lot of sense because I watch the same movies over and over again. I just watch Pride and Prejudice and the Before series stuff every couple of months. So I would watch the same stories over and over again, but I don't want to play the same stories over and over again. So I'd probably pick something. Oh, you know what? Donkey Kong. Let's go with that. Donkey Kong Super Nintendo. I want to play
it again
right now. I haven't played it in years. I'm itching to play it, and I could play it again for the rest of my life. That's fine.
I think I'd do
Donkey Kong 2. 2? Yeah.
For the
Super Nintendo.
Okay, the SNES. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. I think I would do there's not a lot of games I replay a lot. I guess it would be a toss up between I have to play every couple of years. I don't know. I don't want to do it. I don't want to play it again. I don't replay games a lot, which you can hear about if you check out our really old video we have on replaying games. We can link it in the bio.
Yeah, Catherine's
or in the
one.
About.
It's a really fun one.
Yeah. So. I guess. I don't know, because it's just one game. I want to say the Jack trilogy, but that's three games. So that doesn't really count the same. And I don't think I want to do that. It's really hard. It's a toss between Mario 64 and Yoshi's Island. Just I loved Yoshi's Island, so that's really cool. I guess I'd go Mario 64 because I was really surprised on how much I've been enjoying replaying it. The game's way harder than I remember it, and a bunch of crazy things happen. Like I said, this is backtracking to something I think I mentioned in the first video we did of these questions, just to kind of wrap it up. But we were, like, I've been playing it, and my brother's watched me play it a couple times, and now he really likes watching me play it because all the gameplay is so crazy. Like, I really wish I could stream this, or, like, I've been trying to think of ways to maybe prop up my phone and do, like, a little periscope of it or something, because it's really, really crazy. Like, all the deaths are really crazy. Like, everything's kind of really hard. Like, my brother literally said, he's like, watching you die in this game, it's literally, like, I don't know if you've seen floating around the internet these stories of, like, these crazy little Breath of the Wild stories of, like, then this happened, and then this happened, it's crazy. Right. I get that. Yeah. And I don't really read them too much either, because they are nice, but those are more things I want to hear in real life from people than from, like, people online personally. But yeah, people will have, like, little crazy stories. And I have so many of those from Mario 64 that I wasn't suspecting. Like, you know, like, just because I kind of forgot a lot about the game. So, like, you know, where the bird takes your hat and you have to, like, get it back from him. And you, like, literally won't have the hat until you get it back from this bird. And I'm like, what the hell? Or, like, you know, things just, like, blowing me off of, like, high parts of levels or just, like, enemies that are, or, like, it's also, the game's a little glitchy because it's old, so, like, oh, this enemy's, like, stuck on this wall, and that's weird, or, like, not knowing where I'm supposed to go, or, like, I go to get a star and end up being the second star. Where's the first star? How did I get the one that's later? Like, it's right, just, right. Yeah, it's there's, in, like, the, yeah, it's just crazy, and it still really holds up to me, and the music's really great, and it's one of, like, the flagship Mario games, I think, in Mario history, and that's one of my favorite franchises ever, so I think that would be the one I could play every couple years and still get a bit of a kick out of. Maybe one day, you know, finally find Luigi, the little, I never heard that little rumor of, like, Luigi's in the game somehow, even though we've had this game for decades and no one's found him, like, right, I could use that time for that. So yeah, cool, that wraps it up for this video.
Yeah, a lot of questions.
Yeah, so many questions, and me and Jess were talking during the break between these two, but we've really had a really good time with it. It's also nice to have, like, you guys give us some topics of things you want to hear us talk about, rather than just having us come up with what we think you guys might be interested in. So definitely leave us questions or comments below on, you know, how this video went, if you want to see more of this, if you have questions you want, you know, either answered on the channel as an episode or answered for a separate questions video, definitely leave us a comment below. Be sure to give this video a thumbs up. Be sure to subscribe to our channel. And you can also follow us on all of these social medias. We are at Facebook at Bit by Bit Gamers, and we are at Twitter and Instagram at Bit by Bit Gaming. So be sure to follow along. All the content on there is a little different, which I really like about our socials. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and it's a good place where you can have those conversations as well if you don't want to necessarily just comment on YouTube or on Podomatic or anything like that. So yeah, thanks for checking this out, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.